You are listening live to the program, brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson. Get a cash offer for your motorcycle in minutes. Go to WorthHarley-Davidson.com and click on the Sell to Us tab. If you're ready to sell, Worth Harley-Davidson will give you the best cash offer in minutes. Worth Harley-Davidson, just south of the airport on I-29 and online at WorthHarley-Davidson.com.
All right. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we are getting ready for a press conference. At about 10 o'clock, roughly, the Royals announced that there would be a press conference with John Sherman. No other name mentioned in the release, just that it would be John Sherman. It's led to speculation by a lot of folks. A lot of people landed on the fact that it would be a downtown baseball stadium. It will not be about a downtown baseball stadium. Some people speculating that Bobby Witt Jr. may be signing a contract extension. Maybe that will happen, but that's not what this press conference is about. It's not going to happen today. Anyway, hopefully that's something that will be happening in the near future. It is going to be... I am being told about a change in management, that the Royals are going to go in another direction. Now, I do not know. I do not have the details. Is this the decision? And by the way, when I say a change in management, I mean Dayton Moore as the president of baseball operations. Will he still have a title as a president with the Royals? Will he still be involved with the Royals? I don't know that yet. We'll get those details very soon from John Sherman. Is this a termination? Is this a resignation or retirement? I don't know that either, but I have confirmed that Dayton Moore, it is a change in management is the way I would describe the way things are going. And do we now have something official or no? Okay. All right.
I was confirming that
what we were trying to do, we got done. Okay.
Yes.
So it's a day of change here when it comes to the Kansas City Royals, and they, turn a page, man. 16 years. It was the middle of the 2006 season that Dayton Moore was hired as the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, a time after, you know, the Royals had been a barren wasteland of baseball for much of the time. A lot of it spent being run by a committee after the passing of Ewing Kauffman. David Glass had taken over. I will tell you, I spent many a show talking about the fact that I thought David Glass was, at least initially as an owner, more interested in changing the economics of baseball, which, by the way, for a small market team was a noble effort. And at some point, he made the decision that that wasn't going to happen, or maybe it was, but maybe a better way to do it would be focusing more on his baseball team, certainly changing the direction of the baseball team. Howard Baird was hired. Many people told me that Howard Baird turned the job, or excuse me, Howard Baird. Dayton Moore was hired, replacing Howard Baird as the general manager. Many people told me that Dayton Moore turned the job down several times, that the negotiations to try and get Dayton Moore from the Atlanta Braves to the Kansas City Royals were met with Dayton saying, well, this is what it's going to take. Yeah, well, we're not going to do that. Well, I'm not interested in the job then. It's going to take this kind of spending in Latin America. Well, we don't do that. Well, I'm not interested in the job. And slowly, the way it's been told to me, Dayton Moore basically educated David Glass on what it takes to build a winning baseball franchise. And ultimately, David Glass, at least most of or all of or whatever was important for Dayton Moore, came around to the idea that what Dayton was looking for, what it would take beyond just hiring him as a general manager, he was willing to do. Dayton took over the team in the middle of 2006. He was named before the draft in 2006, where the Royals held the number one overall pick. They would subsequently draft Luke Hochaver, a draft pick that initially in his time, Dayton Moore would say, he didn't make that pick. Remember Derek Ladner, who was handling the draft at that time for the Kansas City Royals, was credited with making that pick. Over time, Dayton Moore would talk in terms of, well, certainly he put input into what they were doing. But he was back in Atlanta when the draft happened. Took the team over. There were struggles for quite some time. There were low points. But ultimately, this ball club had its first winning season in 2013 under Dayton Moore. The spirit of Kansas Cityans was rekindled. They had a sluggish start and midseason to the 2014 season. Again, had people calling for a new general manager, a new manager. Dayton Moore persevered. They stayed with Ned Yost. They got hot. They made the playoffs, and the rest is history, winning the wild card, sweeping their way all the way to the World Series, and ultimately falling in seven games in that Game 7 after one of the most incredible World Series performances ever by Madison Bumgarner, coming back on just a couple of days' rest and pitching long relief and stranding Alex Gordon 90 feet from what would have been the tying run in Game 7 of the World Series. Undeterred, they came back, were red hot, had the American League's best record, were the number one seed in the playoffs, survived by the skin of their teeth, a series against the Houston Astros. Ultimately, they made their way on into the World Series, where they handled quite easily the New York Mets in five games. And two flags have been hung. We know subsequent to that, there was a mass exodus of players. A couple of hundred lost seasons followed. The Royals have yet to be able to gain traction. This year, by everyone's account, including Dayton Moore's, has not gone the way he wanted. And here is John Sherman in the press conference.
To make some remarks as well and take some questions. But effective today, Dayton Moore will be leaving the organization. And J.J. Piccolo will be effective immediately responsible for the baseball operations of the Kansas City Royals. This is an emotional day. I think an important day for change. But running into Salvi walking in here, that wasn't the easiest moment. But I would just talk about this in the context of kind of the legacy and the history of ownership of the Kansas City Royals. And I think about Dayton Moore and your spot in our history. But when I think about Ewing Kauffman, our founder, and how he not only brought this an expansion franchise here, but how he made sure we kept this team here. And I think about that time, I guess it was the 90s, when we couldn't find a local buyer. He couldn't find a local buyer, tried for a while. And, you know, to the extent that he contributed the team to the Community Foundation, and while it wasn't good for our baseball team on the field at that time, it's really not good to be run by a nonprofit in this league, you know, without an engaged owner. David Glass stepped up and bought the team, and then after a few years hired Dayton Moore. And I would just tell you that Dayton resurrected this franchise. It was not in a good spot. He rebuilt the farm system, player development, rebuilt the international business, and rebuilt the team, and which in a way that culminated in back-to-back American League pennants and a World Series championship in 2015. And so today, I want to make sure, as we make this change, that my feeling is gratitude for Dave Moore and all that he's done for this organization. And another thing I would talk about personally, Dayton, I think when we acquired the franchise in November of 2019 and the pandemic hit, I'll never forget being in the room in surprise when we're on the call with the commissioner and when things were shutting down and Mike was in there and how resilient this group was. But I would say Dayton was an incredible partner to me in 2020 when we had to make you know, I think tough business decisions, but I was very proud, and it was really with Dayton's counsel. We paid the minor leaguers, we didn't lay off or furlough anyone, and leadership took pay cuts, and it really was shared sacrifice to make sure that we wouldn't have to do those things. So there's lots of ways that I appreciate Dayton, and we're gonna talk about JJ and talk about the future here in a minute. But Dayton would like to say.
Say a few words. Thank you, John. John, I've just so much gratitude and appreciation for you and your leadership and your friendship as well. And, you know, I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you. It's been great getting to know a lot of you, know your stories as well as you seek our stories. But we became friends, and I can't say enough about the great support of this community, our fans, our sponsors. Everything that makes Kansas City special is what we've always tried to represent. And I'm very proud of what we've accomplished here. I'm very proud of our culture. And I'm really excited about the future of the Kansas City Royals. I've known J.J. Okoro since he was 21 years old. He's an incredible leader. And as I've mentioned before, he's more than prepared to lead the baseball operations department in a very innovative and productive way. I'm proud that, he's continuing to, get this opportunity as well. But so many people to thank, and I can assure you, at the appropriate time, I will have that opportunity. And I look forward to thanking each and every one of you and many people in this organization and around baseball. And I will do that personally. I will take time to do that. That's important because that's what makes the game strong. What makes the game strong is relationships, people believing in one another. And that's what we've always tried to do. And this is a powerful group. John Sherman is a great owner. And he's going to do wonderful things for this city. In baseball, when you don't win enough games, change sometimes is, required. It's a part of it. And we know that, and we accept that. And everything in life is for our learning, and I will continue to learn through this as well. But I'm thankful for, John, as he mentioned, Mr. K, everything that he started, everything that Mr. Glass and Dan Glass and their family did in that journey as well, and handed it off to John Sherman, who's going to steward the organization in a very strong and also a very innovative way, and in a leadership mind that is truly best for the Kansas City community. So thank you. God bless each and every one of you. Proud to be called a Royal, and just thankful for my time here in Kansas City. So we'll see you down the road. Thank you.
Do you want me to make some remarks?
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
He's new. Well, I mean, I thought that's pretty remarkable. I appreciate the way Dayton, he's a remarkable person. Very few like him in sports or anywhere else. Pretty unusual for someone in his position to be here to kind of be in this in meeting. So I would just reiterate the gratitude that I feel that I have for Dayton, not only what he did for this franchise, but how he did it and the person that he is. But today, I think the bottom line here is that it's time for change, and Dayton actually agrees with that. There's a very, this has been a difficult decision. Lots of conversations, but Dayton actually agrees and that this is an appropriate time for change. You know, J.J. Piccolo, who Dayton just talked about, from my perspective, his career, his body of work, his track record has totally prepared him for the challenges of this role. He was an architect of in player development of the first of that group that came up and won the back-to-back pennants in 14 and 15 and the championship in 15. And he has been an architect of this and certainly been a big part of bringing this core, young core that we have, you know, at the major leagues today. This job, from my perspective, is all about evaluating, selecting, and developing talent and getting the most out of that talent. And, you know, and selecting can come in the draft, it can come via trade, it can come through free agency. You know, I think for a team like ours, free agency tends not to be the path of choice, but it's to get that talent and to get the most out of that talent and to develop it in a way that it's either going to perform on the field here for us or it will be traded to others to bring back players that make the team stronger. He is very, very excited about this opportunity. Certainly bittersweet for him, having spent all this time, you know, with Dayton, but he's very excited for this opportunity. This is what his career has prepared him to do. The objective of the team is no different. I think Dayton stated this is a results-oriented and performance-oriented business. The objective is to return to form, to compete for a championship on behalf of our great fans, to be playing meaningful baseball this time of year. And so our objective is to build a team that compete, can compete consistently on a sustainable basis. There's a gap right now between where we are and where we expected to be. I might talk about that in the context of since we bought the team. You know, 2020 was a year that we just talked about it a little bit. They're really stabilizing the business side of the house. We really didn't make any changes. We got through the 60 game. I don't really have a lot to say about our performance in 2020. In 2021, we tried to make some investments, Mike Minor and Carlos Santana, and getting Andrew Benintendi, Michael Taylor. We knew we had a young core coming up, but we thought perhaps we could accelerate our development. Well, I wouldn't say that was successful, but I felt like in 2021 we did make progress. And in 2022, that's not how I feel. There's certainly some bright spots. I love seeing the young, but I think in 2022, we are not where we expected to be. I am excited. I couldn't be more excited, frankly, to get this change behind us. I think, and given JJ the opportunity to, new leadership, I'm tremendously excited about 2023. I shouldn't say this, but we're not going to have a pandemic. I can't guarantee you that. And we're not going to have a work stoppage. I may have more influence over that. But my sense is that pitchers and catchers really will report in February. So couldn't be more excited. We got 14 games left, including 6 against Cleveland at the end of the year. So we're kind of winding things down. But when this season's over, JJ and new leadership will be ready to get to work. And from my perspective, I can't wait to get to Surprise in next February. That will be upon us very quickly. In fact, why now? I mean, I've been asked the question from the people, why now and why not the end of the season? This timing was really important to me, and I think it will be really important to JJ to give him a head start. We got 2 weeks to go. In fact, it struck me today, already seeing schedules for the GM meetings and the winter meetings, and he'll have some changes that he has to prepare to make at the end of the season. I think we're really here to talk about that, to talk about baseball. I would just tell you quickly from a, we continue to work on a process around a new stadium, and that's a, we've gotten like the Chiefs, we have had an engineering study done out here to tell us what it would be like to renovate here and modernize the stadium versus moving. But we're working hard on that, and that's part of a big, a big picture process. Happy to take questions on that if appropriate, but really want to kind of come back to why we're here today, and that's to talk about baseball. Once again, thank Dayton for all that he's done for this organization, and I can't wait to be a thought partner of JJ's, and as we put new leadership in charge of our baseball operations.
I'll just try to help play traffic cop the Andy Rogers keep going.
Mr. Chairman, you mentioned a little bit of why now to give JJ a head start, but how long have these conversations been going on about moving on, and what were some of those like, obviously?
The conversations?
Yeah.
I'd been, this is something that I've been thinking about for a little while, although, any decisions like this, there's a processing, I don't know that there's a moment that I can say this was the right change, but certainly I have a close group of advisors. It's a small group, but people internally and externally, some select members of the ownership group, and then just processing what I was seeing here. And I think Dayton, but when you talk about the conversations, these messages, it's just been over the last couple of days that I sat down with Dayton and I sat down with JJ, and Dayton's a remarkable person. It was a that was a tough conversation, but fairly quickly, he's so resilient, it turned into what's next. And so we went through that. JJ, I would encourage you to talk to him, because but he's very excited about the opportunity. This is the job that he's wanted for a long time. And whether it was here or somewhere else, I think he's been close. But from my perspective, you know, I talked to him this morning. Player development is something that's changing. It's changing quickly. It's, you know, I talked about kind of the two generations here that he's been involved. Player development today is different than it was when he was running it in, you know, 2008 to 2015. And so I'm excited to, and again, that's why, Annie, we needed to give him this time to talk to his people, to get his arms around this. I anticipate that he'll do some things. He'll do some things differently than what would have been done had we not made this change. Just a fresh lens.
And when you talk about changes, what changes would you like to see at the big league level and also throughout player development to kind of move you guys forward?
You know, to me, it's about results. I'm really going to rely on Dayton and his team to prioritize those things, but it's really about getting better and getting better in all aspects. You know, there are some models out there that I think the ability, and when I talked about evaluate, select, and develop talent, get the most out of that talent, and then you can use that talent in a variety of ways. And JJ, you know, that's kind of the wheelhouse of his career. And I really think that's the most important skill in these jobs. Obviously, you have to be a leader. You have to be able to put a team together and delegate and define roles and responsibilities, which he's done and has proven his ability to do that. But I, rather than and say what changes I want, I really want JJ to tell me what changes he wants, and then I think we'll discuss those things.
John. You mentioned sort of the expectation and not being there being a gap between where you guys are and where you're expected to be. What were your expectations coming into this
in 2022? You know, that's hard to. I guess if I reflect back on, you know, our progress in 21, where we thought, you know, people were in their own development, you know, the mix of veterans and young talent we had, I think we felt like we were a team that. You know, might dance around 500, and I that's kind of a, I don't know what that range means, but, you know, make progress. You know, Dayton always tends to talk in terms of what a championship team looks like, and I've, that's a great conversation, but I'd like to know what a wild card team looks like first. I think that because if anybody knows, Kansas City Royals fans know, If you can get a wild card slot and you can get in the dance, anything can happen, right? And that's about, again, keeping our fan base engaged late into the summer and hopefully into October. But I guess, Lynn, I would just say that I thought that, I mean, a lot of reasons. We got up to a slow start. Some veterans didn't perform, you know, offensively out of the blocks. Some of the pitching perhaps hadn't developed. But I thought if everybody showed up as expected, you know, we might have a chance to hover around 500. And when if we were 500 in our division, the Guardians seem to be putting a little bit of a gap on it right now. But, you know, last week, if you're four games out of first, if you're a 500 ball club.
And just to follow up, because JJ and Dayton seem to have been so sort of almost synonymous, you know, during their tenure here. By making this change and obviously elevating JJ, what is it that you see that makes you feel like there's going to be a different path, or that gives you that assurance, that feeling?
Yeah, I you know, they're both talented baseball people. I think Dayton was the right guy at the right time. In 2006 or whenever he evolved, you know, but I believe JJ's the right person this time, and they're different leaders, and I think you will see. I would kind of answer that question this way. Let's let JJ go to work. I would talk to him, I would watch him, but I think he's ready, and they're two different leaders, and they have two different styles. So I think you'll see some things differently.
A couple of just quick clarifications, because you said Dayton's leaving the organization, but this was your decision alone?
Yeah, it was my decision.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I assume part of assessing the future is also assessing the past and how you got to this place. What do you feel like didn't go right to have the results in 22 not meet the expectations? What do you feel like did not go right? Like, what went wrong this last year to not meet the expectations that you guys?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think baseball has some, I mean, I mentioned a little bit of it, you know, really, really slow start in April and May. Veterans that were not performing to their expectations, you know, pitching that hadn't developed. I think, and so I think, you know, part of it, I didn't expect us to be tearing up the league and leading the division this year. It was about progress. And then also to be close to where we thought we would be. And I think fairly quickly it became clear that we were not, you know, we were not performing at expectation. There was a gap between where we thought we were and where we are. And I think, so that was a big part of the motivation for making this change right now.
Then lastly, are other changes? I mean, obviously we know about Dayton, but there are other changes too?
You know, I think there will be, but I don't want to get in front of JJ on that. We're doing this today or yesterday. So that he's going to work. He's meeting with his direct reports today. You know, there's some processing here of emotions, certainly, but JJ is on this, and I really, you know, his obviously bittersweet.
We're listening to John Sherman, owner of the Kansas City Royals, talk about the change. Dayton Moore out as baseball operations. My decision, John Sherman said. It should be noted Dayton Moore made his comments early and has left the room. I thought that was, it'd be kind of awkward the way they're going through the problems that have happened. But Dayton Moore made his comments and has left. It's now just John Sherman at the desk.
Mr. Sherman over here, you mentioned that there was Sam's question about possible changes. Just your overall evaluation of what Mike Matheny and his staff have done, has there been anything that you thought maybe could be changed there?
With the manager? Yeah. You know, again, I would leave that. That's JJ's job to evaluate that. I'll certainly spend time with him, and I'm interested in his thoughts on that, but I'm going to leave that to JJ.
And now that the expectations now, you know, you said it would be like about, you expected a 500 record, give or take. Now that you're bringing in new management with JJ, do your expectations try to change where you think playoffs are 2-3 years down the road instead of next year? Well, where's that going?
You know, I'm going to hesitate to get into the prediction business right now. I think that I think we have a stated objective. We want to improve in all areas. We're going to measure our progress toward those goals. You know, the other thing that, if you think about some of my comments, we're talking about pitching development. You know, there's a lot of data that's we're getting a lot of feedback right now on, you know, some consistent levels of performance and effectiveness. And so I do think that JJ, you know, we have a top-notch data analytics group led by Dr. Daniel Mack. I think sometimes perhaps that the data is not as prominent as maybe it should be in this organization. I've always thought that these, you know, kind of the traditional background and that our science people, we learn from each other. But I also think that has to be more prominent, and we have to make more data-driven decisions. And that's not criticizing anybody this day. That's not stating a lot about the future, but that's what that's really where I go when you think about decisions like this, because otherwise it's anecdotal, it's emotional, that's what we all react to. But there's a lot of data that's telling us this is the right thing to do at the right time. But performance, I mean, we're all accountable. I'm accountable to you, I'm accountable to our fans, I'm accountable to our associates, I'm accountable to our players. You know, our players have a short window. These are tremendous athletes. We have this young core. They have a short window in their career. And I really feel accountable to them to give them, to try to build, help them build a team around them that gives them the opportunity to compete and to get to compete on the big stage. And so I'm disappointed we haven't been able to do that for a while. It's not easy, as we know, but that's our objective.
Mr. Sherman, it was just over a year ago that JJ's been the general manager for a while.
Yeah.
And you guys, it seemed unorthodox a little bit the way the thing worked out. Looking back, was that maybe the wrong way to go about this last year with Dayton still kind of deeply involved in the baseball part of it?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think, I mean, I wouldn't have done it any differently. You know, it's part of, you know, there are different practices, as we talked about a year ago. You know, is this a two-person job? Is this a one-person job because of complexity? I'm kind of really, you know, reconsolidating those jobs in JJ that we divided between the two. You know, you JJ, as he builds out his organization, you know, that if you know that's one way to bring talent into the organization is to have the separation of those duties. It's also a way to identify successors and succession planning. But no, I wouldn't have done it. I don't think I would have done it any differently. What I think we learned, I mean, we learn right from how the adjustments were made, how things were delegated, who was given the opportunity to. So I certainly learned about the organization, not just about those two, but about when you reallocate responsibilities, how people work together. And it is my conclusion that JJ is the right guy to be in that role now. It will be interesting how we think about developing the organization as we go forward.
Rustin.
John, I wonder what about your experience in Cleveland informed how you looked at the template here and to what degree that made you say, oh, we should be able to do this or that at this stage by now?
You know, I don't know. I don't know that experience is right. We ought to be able to do this stage by now. You know, there's a lot of models out there. I do have some admiration for what the group has been able to do in Cleveland, particularly in pitching development. But it's not just that. You think about Tampa. You think about I think the Oakland was there. They're going through some other issues. Milwaukee has been a team that I think has been innovative. But it's not just about player development. It's also about your willingness to change your player. You know, I don't want to use the word churn because that these are athletes. But I mean, you know, building an organization where you have excess talent that would allow you to go get more talent to fill needs and maybe offsetting needs with another team. So I think you know, on one hand it's about development. On one hand it's about data-driven decision making. On one hand it's about you know, being willing and trying to upgrade your team all the time. I was talking to JJ yesterday. You know, we always talk about are you a buyer or a seller at the deadline? And by the way, I thought JJ did a good job this year at the deadline, and I think different than what we had accomplished in the past. But it's not really about being a buyer or a seller. It's about improving your team. It's about getting better both short-term and long-term. And, you know, you don't know what you'll want to do when you get to that moment. But I was pleased with what, I mean, there's always people that want more, but I was pleased with the way he executed. That was JJ's idea. I thought it was innovative to go after the comp A pick with Atlanta. All these things, it remains to be seen how they turn out, but we got a major league player here that's already performing, and we've added some pitchers to the, you know, into our system that we're hopeful we can develop.
And the follow-up is a little separate, but obviously Dayton has a deep influence on the culture here, and I assume this is rather a shock to the entire organizational system. Do you have any concerns about morale, or is it the sort of thing you need to discuss with people about, okay, it's on to the future and his influence remains, but how do you treat that?
Yeah, I think the culture is it's an interesting question. No, I think we have a positive culture. I don't think it changed. I mean, there'd be parts of it. I mean, Dayton's a big presence, right? He's a strong leader. He has influence on a lot of people. I'm trying to talk to a lot of people here. We're having an associate meeting after this. I want to make sure people feel comfortable and confident and want to make sure they understand the reasons for these change and that just as they're dealing with maybe uncertainty around this, but it's not changing the culture. We care about people, but we want to win baseball games. In fact, Lonnie Goldberg might like this, but not only am I tired of tired of losing, I'm actually tired of picking high in the draft. And that's, you know, that's a consequence. I mean, I'm glad we have Bobby Witt. I'm glad we have MJ Melendez and Nick Prado and these other folks. But, you know, those teams I just described, you don't have to have one of the top five picks to build your team and improve your team. In fact, I'm kind of joking about, but we want to win baseball games, and if we're picking lower in the draft, that's fine with me. But it also challenges you, I think, when you're winning more consistently, to make sure you're filling the back end of the pipeline so you can stay competitive.
Mr. Sherman, you talked a little bit about development and how it's changed with players and teams. We all saw in 2015 a team that would develop into a World Series champion. Did that blueprint to developing that team, does it translate to today's game? And did maybe Dayton face some challenges with that?
Well, I think the blueprint of, you know, developing young talent in your system and bringing it up and letting it develop at the major league level and then supplementing that with the missing pieces to try to win a championship, I think that, if you know, superficially, that model works for a small market team. I do think that we have some structural things that I think JJ can, I think his eyes will help us and more in the minor leagues and how our development system works. You know, your question about JJ, you know, when we made that move this first year, he was really more focused on the operations of the major league team. So he became a little bit less connected to player development, and he's going to make sure we reconnect with that. So I think we made some, you know, obviously the batting coach change with Alex Zumwalt and Keone and Mike Tosar in the dugout up here. There are some things, and Drew Saylor was a really kind of key hire when we were putting that together, and that was JJ's work. But, you know, I think we need some similar work on the pitching and development side. I think the thing that you know, we probably talked a lot about it, but these are athletes. We talk about data. Data is important, but these are athletes, that great athletes, that you want them to make plays, and you want them to go with the things that they do really well. And I think sometimes, you know, so you got to treat everybody differently. And that, this is my view, but I think you should talk to JJ about that, right? He's got some views on pitching and structure and pitching development that I think you'll see, you know, implemented in our club next, you know, in the off season.
John, you mentioned before taking questions, you mentioned the stadium, downtown stadium. I just wondering if you can bring us up to date on any developments there.
Well, I talked about, I guess, a couple of things. I would just tell you that we got a great team assigned to that. We're working with the Chiefs. We're working with Jackson County. We have a group of, to think about what a solution would be for this, you know, two stadium complex out here. When I think about, you know, the stadium, people ask me this a lot, but it's really, and maybe I've said this to this group before, but it's really about much more than a stadium. We're really talking about a ballpark district and all that comes with it and all of the things around it. And you know, neighborhoods and jobs and more public transportation options. And I think about it really in a bigger context for Kansas City, in that, I don't mean to get off, to get too broad here, but, you know, we're going to have a new airport. We're going to have the NFL draft. We're going to have a women's soccer stadium downtown. We're going to have the World Cup. And I think if you could dream a little bit, and if I'm looking at some people that are working on this, you got to do more than dream. There's a lot of legwork to be done here to finance this and build support for it. But if we do something, you know, downtown or near downtown, and the Chiefs do something really special out here, these are the type of catalytic events that can really transform a region. So I think about it from that perspective. We have our part of it, and I'm not predicting all those things, although I think there's a couple of them, the airport, the World Cup, the NFL draft, but I think we can play a big part in these franchises are incredibly important to the communities they're in. I think in a city like this, even more so. And so we certainly want to play a part of that. I think the other thing, you think about the World Cup, I know we're talking about baseball here, Sam, but You know, the other, I think all of the other winners are in the top 14 metropolitan areas in the United States. We're 31. And so if you think about World Cup and what we could do around it to enhance it, Kansas City stands to gain more than anybody from the World Cup, and certainly more than just, you know, late June to late July of 2026.
John, you talk about falling short of expectations this season. Did the expectations for next year go right back to where they were? Do you think there's a step back?
I think I want to, at least right now, I want to take a breath on talking about expectations. And I would just tell you that I think the objective's clear, is that it's to compete again for a championship. And we got to make sure we're progressing toward that goal. And I think in 2022, I think we regressed, and you know, that happens. I mean, that happens to great teams. But as I started to talk about, you know, whether it was Dayton or others, you know, I felt like we needed to make more change than maybe was being talked about, and that was a big part of why we're making this change.
Sam,
when you mentioned data-driven decisions, being more proactive about that, do you mean in gathering the data, or do you mean you have the data and implementing that sort of thing more? And I guess also, how long, you've been around an organization that used a lot of that, how long do you feel like it might take to, or I guess for lack of a better phrase, to catch up?
We have the data. I mean, that is not a question of, in fact, DMACC added some really talented people to the group this year. It's really about how you use it and how you, where is it in its prominence in when you're going through draft preparation, when you're going through the analysis of a trade counterparty. And so that, I think that's the issue, Sam, is not developing the data. We have it. We got more data than anybody wants to. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's really using it in the proper way and making it prominent when you're having decisions about people and systems and other things. I think that's the, it helps take emotion, and anecdotes are fine, but I really want to see what's underneath those stories. And so it's really about making that a priority when we're making decisions. It's not about building it and getting it.
I wanted to follow up on Blair's question talking about the ballpark, because within this last week, we heard from city manager expressed some frustration with the lack of communication between the Royals and city manager's departments. I wanted to see what your response was on that.
Yeah. I don't really know. I don't really understand why he said that, because we've been very transparent and communicative with the mayor's office. In fact, I think I have something on my calendar right now with the mayor. You know, the city manager, you know, might have been linked to that contract he tried to have for a consultant. I think the good news there is that it's clear to me they want to work on this and they want to help make it happen. You know, the criticism about transparency, I don't agree with it, but I think the fact that they're talking about it and he's wanting to help it and he wants to get more out of us, I see that as a very positive thing.
Cool.
Good.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, there it is. The announcement made today. Dayton Moore out as the president of baseball operations. John Sherman making it clear that it was, quote, my decision. He said that in a statement. Sam McDowell from the Star asked, just to be clear, this was your decision. He said, yes, it was my decision. He said, you know, a number of different things, very honest. And I think it's, I thought it was important to pop in there, because I was sitting here not being able to see what's going on, going, are they really going to break down what they think of the failures of Dayton Moore right there with the man sitting there, a man who did deliver two pennants and a world championship flag to Kansas City. He had left. It was important. I texted Todd. I said, he's sitting there? He said, no, he left after his comments. So that should be noted. Took on one role, one from a podium, John Sherman announcing, we're making a change. Dayton Moore was in for that. Dayton making his comments. After his comments, he left the room. John Sherman then sat at the table. That's why the mic sound quality got a little bit better. J.J. Piccolo was not in the room during this conversation, if you were wondering. He was not there. There were members of the organization that were there, but not J.J. Piccolo. I haven't gone through a laundry list of the baseball ops people. I would tend to think if there was no J.J., there was no other baseball operations. I know members of the broadcast team were there at this announcement. And interesting, I mean, you know, John Sherman, this could have very easily, whether this was at the request of Dayton Moore or the request of John Sherman, I think that'll be interesting to find out. This could have been painted as Dayton Moore announcing his retirement, effective immediately at the end of the season. This could have been painted as something, listen, this has been in the works. The transition actually began last year. The first step was for JJ to be the general manager, for me to be here as a sounding board for him. He's really done most of the work, the heavy lifting. I've just been here for any kind of help that he might need. JJ really didn't need much help, and now it's time for JJ to fly. Was that what happened? And this is Dayton Moore falling on his sword and saying, listen, let's let me go as the guy who is the baseball ops. So all negativity that comes with this season, any failure, the organization's been very upfront about the fact that they thought it was going to be a better season. Well, all that negativity goes with Dayton Moore. I'll give you a phrase I heard from a manager's office who was on his way to being fired that I think may apply to that. But the fact that J.J. Piccolo is in-house, he is the, quote, right man for the job and a bunch of the changes, that's what John Sherman is making the point right now. So it will be J.J. Piccolo. Did not say whether he would carry the title of general manager or would he be bumped up to a president of baseball operations. I don't know that that matters. You know, either way, he's going to be the point man for the baseball operations. Let's take a break. We've been at the press conference for quite a while. I think it's important for you to hear everything, and I'm going to give you some of the things that I hope you heard, because I think John Sherman has been very honest about things, as has Dayton Moore and J.J. Piccolo and all the conversations I've had with them through the years. John Sherman is no different, and we'll talk about some of the very important things that he said when we come back. You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, welcome back. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're going to open the phone lines up. We're going to be moving quick here right now, but we're going to open up some time in the next hour to be taking your calls. If you want to grab your line right now, 913-3810-810, the phone number, 913-3810-810. History made today on the Kansas City Royals, you know, the local sports scene. When general managers that have stood watch for 16 and a half years, almost 17 and a half years, when you consider this baseball season's almost over, right? This was his 16th full season. So, you know, he's more than, you know, calendar-wise, he was hired in 06, you know, June 3 months, 8th. So 16 years and 3 months.
Yep.
You know, we're at right now, 2 months we're at right now, three months, now that I think about
17.
It.
17. Or 7 to 21 full seasons, so that's 15, and then essentially
a 16th
this is a 16th. Full year.
Yeah,
this
16th
is basically
seasons.
A full year.
This would be, we'll call this a full year here, 16 years as the general manager. If you want to put some thoughts out there, 913-3810-810. We'll get to as many phone calls as we can. And I've spoken to Eric Eager. We're going to push him back a little bit and open up a window here to digest this. Also, Todd Lebo is going to be with us. He'll be back here at the station in the 4 o'clock hour. Grab a line right now. Again, you might need to exercise some patience because we've got some things we've got to get caught up on. 913-3810-810. A couple of things. One, if you're a longtime listener of this, you've heard me talk about sitting in the office with Tony Muser when he was at the end of his run and him saying to me, Pet, I'm going to get fired. Right. And it needs to happen. He said, I'll never quit. I mean, I'll keep doing the job every day. But, you know, they're going to fire me. I know it's coming. And it needs to happen because when you fire somebody, everybody else gets a fresh start.
Yes.
The guy who may be batting 175 who hasn't produced, it's now a fresh start. It's almost like his batting average starts over. And I think there's a little bit of that with the organization right now. I think there were some tremendous highs, the highest of highs, a world championship, back-to-back years with a pennant, three straight years with a winning record in a small market, which, by the way, is significant, five consecutive seasons of being in contention in the month of August or later. Those are good seasons, five straight years culminating with the best of the best. But, you know, of late, again, not enough and not getting back on top fast enough. After John Sherman said J.J. would be in place, he said J.J. will make some changes. He said we need a fresh lens to look at things. He said there are models out there that we can use. He certainly talked in terms of analytics. He said use the talent in a variety of ways. I thought that was kind of an interesting one. I look forward to diving deeper into what that means. Made it clear it was his decision. Said we have top-notch data analytics. Has to be more prominent. Sam McDowell pressed him on that. And he said, is that to say the data gathering or the data's in-house? He said, no, we have top people. The data's in-house. It has to be more prevalent, more prominent, and has to be used more. So I think that's a clear reference. He said there are other teams out there that have models and have ways of doing things. So I think that's harkening back to
which
he was with a team that was on the cutting edge of that, and he's now stood watch on a team that was not on the cutting edge of that.
I think it's a far better spot to have all the data and not be using it than to have to build a data gathering system, right?
Absolutely. And let me just say that he also talked about a ballpark district. We've been discussing this for a number of years, mm-hmm. that when they build you a new stadium, folks, you're not just going to be building a new stadium. They're going to want all the land around it and all the money-making potential that comes with it. That was just said. That was breaking news. Okay? That's why we play the whole press conference, because that's breaking freaking news. You're not just building a ballpark, folks. And I think that's also kind of the timing of this. I got a lot to sell here. And I can't do it with a team that loses 98 games. He talked about the airport, the World Cup coming, all this. It makes me think that, like, maybe the idea is to have this done by the World Cup, to have this ballpark district be a central entertainment point for the World Cup is the stadium. They have a lease through 2031, but it's the idea we want to be ready to go by 26. So cha-ching is coming. When the world comes to Kansas City, they're spending money in a ballpark district. Smart move. I'm not damning it. I'm saying smart move, but I think that was a very important thing that was said.
To add to this sort of speculation about that district, one of the big topics I remember, I wasn't in town, but I listened back to podcasts the day Kansas City was awarded that World Cup. One of the big discussions, and Blair talked about it, where will the big soccer village be when the World Cup's in Kansas City? And
people speculated that it would be kind of like a temporary
Hall-ish
thing.
Sort of thing.
Yeah, there or even down by the train station, Union Station, and that would be kind of a temporary build. Well, maybe we have our answer. And what John Sherman was talking about there. 913-3810-810. I want to get one in here before we break again. Simon, you're in the program. What's up, Simon?
Hey, man. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Hey, a couple of things with Sherman as a businessman. When he used the word structural, that is very telling that he's looking at the bones of the organization, that it's not necessarily a cosmetic thing. That was one thing that I really keyed in on. And then as we pivot to the whole stadium entertainment district, I know it's a tough ask for people coming out of a pandemic to put up the money to support that. I see the value, and I mean, it helps bring your carefully curated grab ass to me on a daily basis, because we have sports in the city. We get to hear the takes and the angles on it, but I'm curious to understand if any revenue from that development can come back to either support the rail that's going to come into it or other infrastructure things, since he is a man of the town and what that's going to mean long term. So those were just my first thoughts. I appreciate you gentlemen daily. Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. I appreciate it. And, when you use the term carefully curated grab ass,
that was so fantastic.
I thought T-shirt.
That's just
the liner. Simon, shoot me an email so I got a last name and a way to contact you. Carefully curated grab ass.
The program.
25 years. What about 94 to now is what? 30 years, 28 mm-hmm. years in this business. One of the most heartwarming moments of my absolute professional career.
It's hard to be that.
There's holding your child for the first time. And then career-wise, there's this.
Yes. It's hard to be that creative and descriptive in that few words.
I want you to think back, Seren, to that night. You didn't know any lullabies, so you softly sing to your daughter, sweet child of mine.
Yeah.
Did you ever think you'd have a feeling like that in your heart again?
I mean, I'm not saying they're equals. I'm saying this is the equivalent of holding your child in your hand as a parent. That's a wonderful. But having your life's work captured so eloquently, it's like I'm holding my career in my hand. It's a,
I can already hear Jim Cutler's voice.
Simon, you're
carefully curated grab ass.
I don't even know what you asked or what it was. I just was, I'm like, I've got like, hey, check your text. There's like a lot of things that are flying around right now. And I'm like, no, I got to write this down. Carefully curated grab ass. The day it was born. There it is. Yes, but to your point about the bones, there was, I think he, John Sherman did what a good owner would do. He came from an organization that was very smart and on the cutting edge of baseball. He came to an organization that did things differently. He looked at it. He analyzed it. I think the pandemic probably delayed it. He gave it the opportunity to work the way it was working with the people that were in place. He learned who all the people were, and he came to a conclusion. He had, like I said, when we enter a year, what gets this guy extended? What gets him fired? What kicks it down the road? You have those expectations going into a season. Owners do, general managers do, managers do. You have to have those things, and John Sherman did when those expectations were not being met. They did not meet them, and so change is upon us, and he made it. I want to take a moment, though. I do want to celebrate the career of Dayton Moore because he belongs in the and will go into, without a doubt, the Royals Hall of Fame. And, you know, his name will be signified in that stadium, in a new stadium, in some way, shape, or form. He didn't wear a number, so I don't think they're going to hang a necktie out there for him. But there will be
his glasses.
He will be his wraparound with
his wraparound
with
shades.
with the rope and back.
Yes,
you know his shades perhaps. Flat top,
a streak of gray.
Yeah, the flat top or flat top ish. I don't want to miss
kind of a.
But it should be as now. There's no reason to be angry and frustrated. You can celebrate. Well, was a guy who brought two pennants and a championship to this town. Let's take a break. We're going to take all your phone calls. You can grab it right now. We got a couple of people on the line. You can grab a line at 913-310-810. We're moving Eager back. He's that kind of guy. He doesn't mind. And we're going to get to as many of your calls as we can until we go to the data scientist, Todd Lebo, wrapping things up out of the stadium. He'll be with us in the 4 o'clock hour. We are covering a massive change for the Kansas City Royals. Dayton Moore out. J.J. Piccolo in. By the way, J.J. Piccolo, we asked about the title. Ask and ye shall receive. J.J.'s title was Senior VP of Baseball Operations and General Manager. He is now Executive Vice President and General Manager. We will take a break. More on this subject next.
All right, who was the first player the Royals traded for during Dayton Moore's tenure as GM? Brought to you by Good Sense.